Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good buddy, Mr. Hugo Chavez Rey from the Hispanic Patriot Podcast in Colorado. I wanted to reach out to him because we've been reading about this whole situation of Venezuelan gangs being active in apartments in Aurora, Colorado. And I want to get his take on it since he's on the ground right there. Hugo, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Well, thank you for having me, George. Always a pleasure to help out.
Tell us two things. First of all, what is the situation like right now with these Venezuelan gangs in these communities, like in Aurora, as well as what is the reaction by the politicians in Colorado? Because, I mean, they have a tendency to be a little bit on the liberal side. What's going on?
Well, the problem is real. I can tell you that. We've seen some activities. I have a very good friend who is a publisher here for the largest Hispanic paper in the state, and he just happens to be from Venezuela himself. He is very concerned about the situation. It seems to just be festering. And on the government side, we've got our illustrious governor who basically has decided that it's not really a big issue, that it's a figment of the imagination of conservatives that are basically trying to blow it out of proportion and just basically having an attitude that it's a problem, but it's not as big as people want to make it out to be. And the
that's
local
amazing.
Government,
that is amazing.
We call it the head in the sand approach from the governor. And then there's the local government in Aurora, led by the mayor there, Mike Kaufman, who is a Republican. In fact, he used to be the congressman for that district in District 6. And, he's been the mayor now for a couple of terms. And he's got a mixture in the city council. He's got a couple of conservatives and then some BLM, defund the police type people in there. So it's kind of a balanced city council. But it seems like even the mayor right now is kind of not taking it as seriously as we thought he would, being that he is formerly a law and order type guy. And then the police has also a mixture. They've got a liberal police chief. And they're taking the approach that it's hands off. And they even have certain areas that are designated as no-go zones. In other words, before they can go in there and respond to an emergency call, they have to get clearance from the fire department and the police department. And so if somebody has an emergency, they're pretty much out of luck in that area.
That's so incredible. That is wild.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, it's kind of like, reminds me a little bit of what happened in Seattle back in 2020 when they took over part of the city over there and just kind of shut out all authority, et cetera, and basically set up their own little kingdom within the city of Seattle. On the conservative side, of course, we're all concerned. We have friends that live in those areas. The gang that is called the Tren de Aragua, I think it is Aragua, something along those lines, is supposedly one of the most notorious gangs out of Venezuela, and who basically decided to pull up stakes thanks to the open border policy of the Biden administration, relocate or at least branch out into the United States. And Denver has been designated as one of the main hubs. And I'm hearing reports that they're kind of filtering down into Texas in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as well. But they've, you know, it's a big enterprise. And these guys, I mean, they showed, you've probably seen the videos of these guys in this apartment complex walking around with, you know, with AR style weapons in plain sight and handguns, and knocking on people's doors and basically forcing their way in and helping them move out so that they can take their apartment. Or they're using, from what I read, also the old mafia tactic of protection money. So they go in and they intimidate people, and a lot of them are immigrants, and they intimidate them into paying protection money or else, you know, some similar to what organized crime used to do here in this country. So that's kind of what's going on with that. What's going to take place is anyone's guess, because the authorities don't seem to be that concerned from what I'm seeing. And so the people are becoming more and more vocal about it. There's been some, you know, my friend, I have a friend who has a radio show up here in the morning, and he decided last week to go do some on-site interviews in a couple of those complexes where the issues were happening. And he interviewed this one guy who is not Venezuelan, he's from Mexico, but he's been living here for a while, and they asked him about the situation and whether or not the reports were correct, and he said absolutely. And he said he's encountered some of the Venezuelans that have told him that they were sent up here by the Venezuelan government with $300 in their pocket, and told to basically get out of Venezuela and not come back. So President Trump is correct in saying that these countries are emptying their prisons, their insane asylums, and they're basically just sending all their riffraff up here with money in their pocket, so that they can relocate up here. And then you see the reports of crime dropping significantly in places like Venezuela because all the criminals are coming up here. So, but this gang is serious business from what I'm seeing, and it's going to come to a head. Something's going to happen. I've even heard some citizens talking about vigilante activism, and we definitely don't want to see that, but you know, something's got to give. If the government isn't going to protect the people, then the people are going to protect the people.
That's really, really scary. Now, the thing that really also concerns me is that these folks are ending up in the Hispanic community, because that's where they gravitate to, and that's where they are also housed. In the Hispanic community, how are Hispanic Democrats or Hispanic liberals saying anything about this situation?
Well, there are, including my friend, who I mentioned, who is from Venezuela, that owns. He's the editor of the El Comercio de Colorado. That's the largest Hispanic community paper in the state, and. He's concerned because, you know, he came up here legally, and he's been in the process of getting his citizenship and becoming a citizen. And he said that the legal Venezuelan community is outraged that this is happening with this gang from Venezuela, because they're getting lumped in with everybody. And so, you know, non-thinking people will associate any immigrant with the gang, or at least be upset that they're here, and not participating in law and order. So, but these people, these immigrants that are here, the illegal ones as well as the legal ones, are the ones that are being victimized primarily, because they know that especially the illegal ones won't file police reports because they're afraid that they're going to get deported. Mm-hmm. So it's a conundrum, because those people are at the mercy of these gangs, and they don't want to risk getting deported. So that a lot of the stuff that's going on is not getting reported. So this one guy that was being interviewed by my friend, who told him about the $300 thing from people being sent up here from Venezuela, he said that there's also groups that are, or people that have come here, and yes, they are here illegally, and they're in these government subsidized housing projects, and so they're scared to death because they have no protection, and they don't know what to do, and so it's something that's going to come to a head. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that right now the governor doesn't take it seriously. The local government doesn't take it seriously, and even the police department is taking a hands-off approach. So
yeah, now, I don't know. What let me ask you about that, because the whole situation since the George Floyd incident has been to defund the police departments, as well as tell the police officers themselves that they can't do this and they can't do that. And yep. I mean, in this kind of case, in this kind of a situation, I've heard of instances where the police are not even allowed to racially profile suspects.
Right.
So
exactly. Well. There's a legitimate concern from the rank and file police officer that basically knows and understands that their hands are a sort of tied, because if it's, let's say it's a dutiful police officer who wants to do his job and his duty, he doesn't want to get caught up in a situation where they may have to exchange gunfire with these people, and who, by the way, one of their leaders issued an order to shoot police at will. And so there's an order on the street from this gang that they're to go out and target police officers, and so that's on the table as well. And the way that they've been getting their weapons is through a series of gun shop burglaries. And what they're doing with that is they're taking 12, 13, and 14-year-old kids and giving them stolen vehicles. And what they do is they go and crash into the front of a gun shop and take what they can. Now, some of the gun shops have taken precautions on that and made it to where they can't really smash through the front. And then they're also locking the majority of their guns into large safes at night. But this, the reason they're using the young kids is because they know that due to the juvenile laws, even if they get caught, they're only going to be basically incarcerated maybe until they're 18, and then their records are wiped clean and they're free on the streets. By then, they're going to be hardened criminals and gang members, and so they'll be rewarded by these gangs who are recruiting these kids to do these burglaries. So that's how they're getting their weapons. And from what I've seen on the pictures, they seem to be pretty well armed. So that makes it to where if I was a cop, am I going to go into an apartment complex where these guys are, you know, heavily armed and really not afraid to shoot at cops? You know, that's just a bad situation. And I think President Trump kind of addressed the issue and basically said that the National Guard needs to get involved and basically just go in and clean up these these areas, and then see what shakes out. But it's a mess. And here in Denver, I mean, we have Denver proper, and then Aurora is the largest city outside of Denver covers quite a big area, and they have a lot of these apartment complexes where they've settled in, and so it's just I don't know what's going to happen, what's going to have to happen for people to take this seriously, but they better do something now, because the longer they wait,
the more entrenched these people are going to be.
Yeah, and they're growing. Yep. There's more coming in as we speak. You know, so. But Denver has been designated as one of the hubs for this gang. We have another congressional candidate from that district, John Fabricatori, who is basically a former regional ICE director who has basically been involved in situations of this kind, and he knows the landscape of what's going on, and he said it's extremely dangerous, and so he's running for to unseat Jason Crow, the very liberal veteran that's holding that seat right now. He votes like 98% with Biden, and he's been listed as even more liberal and far left than AOC. So, that's who we have in that seat, and so John stepped in, and he's running, and hopefully we'll have a shot to get that seat. But we had him on our show. And he talked about all the experiences with the drugs and the gangs and the illegal immigrants and what needed to be done. And he's a straight law and order type guy. So hopefully he will get the support of the community based on what the current government is doing. And yep. Jason Crow, the congressman, has also taken that same approach. Basically, this is, I guess, the edict from the Democrats is to downplay it and make conservatives look like a bunch of fools overreacting.
Right, racist overreacting. Listen, we need to let you go, but tell the people where they can follow your podcast, and we'll get you back on the show and do some more follow up, because this is a very very hot story.
Yeah, we're keeping our eye on it. So our podcast is The Hispanic Patriot. We're on YouTube, X, Rumble, soon to be on some other platforms. Our website is www.hispanicpatriot.com, and we appreciate any support that we can get. We're growing. Our subscribers are growing on YouTube, so if you're inclined, we want you to subscribe there so we can grow. We just talk about the issues and try to disseminate information to the Hispanic community and others. So we appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much, folks. We've been talking with our good friend Mr. Hugo Chavez Rey from Denver, and he is with the Hispanic Patriot podcast. Hugo, thank you very, very much. You take care and be safe out there, buddy.
Great. You have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.